Yo, thank you for tuning in again to this podcast. This is the second episode of the Warmech recording about Plants vs. Zombies. If you haven't listened to the first episode, which I uploaded last week, then please, please, please listen to that episode. You will not really understand what's going on in this episode if you haven't listened to the previous one. So yeah, just go to the previous episode and listen to it, and then boom, you're ready for this episode. This episode, I feel like, man, these two parts were so good. I really enjoyed it. One of my favorite recordings I ever had, and I will, like, I'm currently playing through Plants vs. Zombies once again as a casual, basically. But after this, I will try some speedruns of it and see how it feels, because I got so hooked to this game, to the speedrun, because of this recording. Hope you have similar experience. Hope you got also hooked with this episode, with the second episode, or you got already hooked with the first episode from last week. But yeah, now enjoy the second part of the recording, where we look into some more deeper mechanics and some, like, how to get into this game. Have fun. Actually, I first of all, we will continue this episode, because this is awesome. I love this episode, but, like, I actually get excited to speedrun this game on myself right now. Like, I want to speedrun this game, like, right after this episode, because it's amazing. Like, I feel like, overall, I always say to people, speedrunning is not just about, like, learning the fastest strategy or fastest tricks. It's, like, so much about, especially in the early, like, days of learning a speedrun, it's about just getting experience in that game and getting knowledge about this game. And I feel like Plants vs. Zombies is, like, the ultimate, like, just play the game a lot and get a knowledge and understanding of the game, and you refine your decision making every run, basically. And it's, like, so crazy to think about the depth. And I also, like, in the video I watched of yours, where you analyze the run of someone else, I heard the word so often that you need, like, not only good decision making, but not to hesitate with your decisions, like, use your instant kill, like, cherry bombs, or, like, the ones that squish someone, I don't know, remember that name, use them, like, right away when you have them off cooldown. Like, you need to make the good decisions, but you need to make them without, you know, thinking about them, if that makes sense. Like, you need to make them, some decisions you need to make, like, hard to describe, but you need to make them like as a machine. Like, you punch them out and steamroll with them, and without, like, to thinking too long. Like, is this really the right placement? And before you place it, it's, like, already the bad decision at this point. And yeah, I feel like that's actually a really cool speed game. I will try it out myself, but let's get a little more into the episode. We talked about RNG, and you said, like, the best runner of yours, or, like, the top runners could, like, I heard in your video, could always get, like, a sub 330 if they're good enough. And I was, like, wondering, because RNG seems like a huge factor, why is, like, RNG only a matter of, like, minor seconds and not, like, a matter of making a run a really good one or a really bad one? Like, why is it so consistent still on the one hand? Because that, like, for example, confused me in the beginning.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's a great question. So first of all, I wanted to praise that, like, you know, just hearing you sort of talk about it, and, like, that, like, it can be very, very difficult to practice the game, quote unquote, mm-hmm. because the only real practice is to play the game a lot and to be prepared for what might happen in the future. So already, you know, just sort of, like, hearing your thought process about it, I think you could be a very successful Plants vs. Zombies speedrunner, because that's absolutely the right way to think about it. You know, you have to play a lot. You have to sort of learn about the mechanics, but you can't possibly think, oh, 50% rule here. I'm at 48% right now, and this sun is on, you know, this cycle. Like, you can't
prepare for the run. You need to, like, just play the run and get the experience. It's, like, basically, like, every competitive game, you can't just learn, like, that one strategy. At one point, you need to just be a little bit more creative and need that experience to play, like, against a new strategy. And, like, most speedruns are just, like, you follow that formula and you practice that formula to perfection, and then you might be a good speedrunner. But I feel like Plants vs. Zombies is, like, you look at the formula and there is no formula. You just have these different rules, and then you do the best what you can do to your abilities with these rules. It's, like, pretty unique, I gotta admit.
It's so funny, and I'm gonna, like, music geek out of you for just a second here, but I sort of describe, like, Plants vs. Zombies as the jazz of speedrunning. What I mean by that is, like, most of us kind of grew up, again, whether you were just playing, like, the recorder, or, you know, you played in, you know, middle school or things like that, you know, with overall, like, again, kind of classical or more traditional, like, instrumental types of music, where you have the entire sheet of music printed out on you, and you know quarter note here, eighth note here, play in tune here, you know, play softly here, play louder here, you know, you, eight measures of rest here. You know, it's very, you know, this type of thing here. And again, that's not to like, you know, looked at like that would be more your Mario, right? You know, mm-hmm. exactly what the piece of music looks like in front of you for the most part. I know all games have a little, you know, little funny mechanics that you have to adjust to a little bit, but you know exactly, okay, if I perform, you know, if I play perfectly in tune right here, right? Or if I perform this, I'll get the flagpole glitch. And so a lot of speed runs that I've seen, you know, throughout the years are just that. Like, again, the piece of music is very clearly right there, you know, on the page for you, and all you have to do is play it. And again, I don't mean that with any sort of like, you know, like it's incredibly difficult, and I could yeah. not do it, and I never was like that good of a classical musician anyway, like for that sort of thing. But speedrunning is really the jazz, and what I mean by that is that like you might have like a little bit of a melody, and you might have some like chord progressions written, but it's up to you to improvise the mm-hmm. entire thing. And so like, you know, like, yeah, you might know, okay, like I have like a, you know, a 2-5-1 chord progression here, but you don't know until you're actually in that moment what notes are going to sound good or what the audience is going to react to. And then, you know, the audience starts cheering. So then your conductor tells you, oh, we're going to play this one again. So, you know, you pick up the solo again and like, you're like, wow, this person's really feeling it. And then like, you know, the saxophone player kind of gives you a nod, and then you go into improvising for a little bit. Like that to me is like, you know, okay, you have a cone head here, but now you have three regular zombies here. These zombies are slow, but you had good sun RNG here. And, you know, like all of these things coming together, it feels like jazz. That like we broadly know what every level is going to look mm-hmm. like. We know approximately how much sun we're going to have throughout the course of a level. We know about how many sunflowers we should plant, about how many of the different types of plants. We usually know for most levels like what the optimal plants are to take in each level. But in terms of actually executing it, in terms of actually playing that melody, like it feels as much improvised as it is planned, or, you know, kind of like put out to a T. And again, that's not that, you know, jazz is better than classical. Again, I don't want to music geek too much out here, but it just like, it's the idea that like we're given a broad shape of what a level looks like, but it's not until we're actually in that moment and we sort of get the feel of how the level's going. We can look back at sort of what was done and where we think the level's mm-hmm. going to go. But like, you know, and that doesn't mean that you could just like improvise and play whatever you want. Like, again, any musician would know that that's going to sound horrible. Like there are right things that you have to play, yeah. but it's not really until you're in the groove of things that you know, like, you know, exactly kind of what's going to come out of your instrument, or, you know, what you're going to play on screen. And again, we were, you know, I guess this really didn't kind of tie back to your question too much, actually, but, you know, just about
can I interrupt you real quick before we go to question? Absolutely, I find it so funny that you talked about jazz, because I played for 7 years saxophone myself in like a school band and like in an actual orchestra, and I also had like on the like final day of school I had like a big solo I played on stage with saxophone. So I was totally understanding your story, but yeah I feel it's a very good comparison. But actually, yeah, that's better go back to the question, because we might confuse the one or the other person. So I love that talk. Why was it like, what, so to explain it for like not music nerds, like why isn't RNG the biggest factor, and how can you be so consistent?
Exactly. So it all sort of has to do with the fact that there's so many of these micro RNG elements that over the course of a 3.5 hour run takes to complete any percent, our main category where you beat the main 50 levels during the game, basically the probabilities will always win themselves out. So again, it like there's some runs where it has a certain RNG moment, right? Like you're like, oh my goodness. And then I'm thinking like Mario Sunshine or something like that. Like you need one particular outcome at one particular point mm-hmm. in the run, or your run's dead. Or it costs you 3 minutes or something like that. Or I'm thinking like Dampe or something like that.
Yeah.
And for OOT, any percent, you know, again, like if Dampe decides that you're getting bad RNG, your run is, you could basically be dead for the most part.
Yeah.
But Plants vs. Zombies has so many little RNG moments that over the course of 3.5 hours, it almost always weighs itself out. It's almost like, you know, if you flip, you know, heads or tails, you know, 100 times, and you want it to always be heads. Again, you know, if you're relying on one or two or three coin tosses for your entire run, yeah, RNG could easily kill your run. But if you're relying on like thousands of them over the course of the run, it might make a little bit of difference. And, you know, like you could certainly get an element of bad RNG, but just inevitably, like the bad RNG will be outweighed by the good RNG. Like, yeah, you got bad sun RNG on this level, but the next level you'll get good sun RNG. Or you get two bad levels in a row, but then three good and one bad and two good. And, you know, there's or like, yeah, you got bad sun RNG, but the zombie speed RNG was absolutely perfect. And so, like, all of those things kind of come together in a way that, again, it's not so much what RNG you get. Like, yes, if you get bad RNG, it could cost you, again, 5 seconds here, 10 seconds here, 15 seconds here. But what's way more important is how did you react to that RNG? How did you make decisions to account for the chance of getting the bad RNG, but also the chance of getting the good RNG? And, you know, a truly worst case scenario, you're never going to lose more than maybe 15 seconds. So again, even if you got 5, 10, 15 instances of those bad RNG and lost 15 seconds here, 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 and here, again, inevitably, like you probably got some good RNG scattered throughout your run that maybe saved 5 seconds here, 10 seconds here, and so on. And so even though it may feel in the moment like, oh my God, I got the worst RNG ever on this level, I lost 30 seconds, like all of this crap happened, you know, like my run is dead. The truth of the matter is, like, probably in some other level you would have gotten some G and or like slightly above average RNG, and like, no, what's far more important is the decisions that you made. So again, there's no single run-ending event that can happen. There's nothing that will even cost you like 30 seconds or a minute in terms of like pure RNG. Now, you can make mistakes that'll cost you 30 seconds or a minute. And that's sort of, that's obviously a whole separate thing. Or you could make a lot of little bad decisions that add up to 30 seconds. Like, again, you hesitate for 2 seconds here, you know, you're a little bit unoptimized in the order that you do things here, and so you lose 7 more seconds here and a half a second here and things like that. But yeah, again, you know, kind of tying it back to the question that you had, you know, it's not only about the decisions that you make, but of course, you know, you want to make those decisions as quickly and as efficiently as you can. Like, you know, we unfortunately don't have the luxury of saying, okay, like, you know, oh, here's where my son's at, here's where the zombie's at, here's where I think the future waves are going to appear, here's the rows that I feel like are very weak. You know, when you're in the moment, you probably, you like see the wave, and then you like, you have like a second to figure out exactly what you want to do for that wave and exactly how you want to prepare for the next wave. So again, it's all about, again, kind of getting that feel or that jazz, or, you know, like kind of getting that notion of like, okay, like, you know, I've seen something that looks not exactly like this before, but I've seen something that looks a lot like this before. This is how I've reacted to it in the past and have been successful. So here's how I'm going to sort of adjust for it and account for it in the future. So again, yeah, it is ultimately a speed game. You know, you want to make your decisions quickly. You want to get those zombies off screen quickly. And, you know, the one runner that I was sort of, you know, providing some feedback for, ultimately he was making a lot of very, very good decisions, but he was waiting just like a second or two, like, ooh, should I plant a sunflower here? I can't just, no, I'm going to plant a sunflower here. And ooh, I see the zombie here. Do I want to use the cherry bomb plant? Okay, I will. And like, you know, he was making the right decisions. I think he just maybe didn't quite have the confidence or quite the experience to say like, yes, this is what I'm going to do. Yes, this is the right decision. And again, like any game, the more hours you put into it, the more types of scenarios that you've seen, the more, you know, the more you know, crazy situations that the games put you in, the more comfortable you become sort of dealing with those, and the faster that you're able to, you know, react to and execute on the plan or the decision, you know, to defeat the wave or to defeat the level.
Yeah, I love that. I think the original part from where my question was coming was, I looked at the leaderboard and I saw the world record is like 6 minutes faster than the second place. And I was like, can you beat like this record consistently? Or is at that point already part of RNG also a real factor? Which probably is, but you can probably tell us the story.
Exactly. So I'll give you, it sort of takes a little bit of like PVZ history to like sort of figure out like where, like how we got there and why. So it's not an accident. And again, this is with all the praise in the world. The current world record holder is like truly a savant, like just like totally understands the game and so rarely makes bad decisions that like, you know, again, what would take all of us like, you know, hours to get, you know, mm-hmm. or I mean, you know, hundreds of attempts to get like the type of luck to bring us up to that level he could get like on a pretty consistent basis. But again, sort of going back, like, you know, to the dark ages of PVC running, and honestly, before I even started, like, really, we didn't even know about the 50% rule. Like, we had some vague understanding, like, wow, okay, well, yeah, if I kill the final wave fast, the level will end faster. And like, yeah, it seems like when I kill the zombies a little bit faster, the waves appear a little bit faster, but we didn't mm-hmm. like really understand the mechanics behind it. You know, in like any speed game, you know, what started off as like a 4.5 to 5 hour speed game, like slowly got whittled down to 4 hours. And that was about where I came in. I think the world record was 3 hours and 55 minutes. And then I kind of came up with a strategy that like helped shave about 2 minutes off of that. And so then I was the world record holder for about a year, maybe a year and a half or something like that, as a result of these strategies improvements. But then, you know, the old world record holder sort of adapted some of my strategies and took on, you know, some of his own strategies. And then we learned more about the mechanics. And so I improved and he improved. And then again, sort of as the game started to blow up a little bit and we got more people that were involved in this running community and the game became a little bit more global. There's a speedrunner from China. He's the world record holder now. Like, had put a lot of time into like some like YouTube videos and like playing through the game, and he really understood the mechanics incredibly well, but had never tried to like actually speedrun the game. Mm-hmm. And so then when he came again with his like, again, just like incredible, incredible analytical ability. Like, again, like I work in a pretty analytical field. Like, I study something pretty analytical in school. So like, I'm not trying to like be too humble here, but like, he's just like in a totally different world of like, mm-hmm. it's almost, you know, we're talking a little bit and it brought up the analogy of like speed chess or something like that, where like, you know, you can make the right decision, but if you don't make the right decision quick enough, you're going to run out of time and your opponent might beat you like due to that. And there's definitely a similarity. Like, you might make a pretty good decision, you know, oh, I'll move my knight here or I'll move my pawn here. But like, if someone else can plan 3, 4, 5 moves ahead better and faster than you, then there's almost no chance that you're going to, you know, to beat them again, unless you get like the 1 in a billion RNG and just everything goes your way and everything's perfect. And obviously chess doesn't have any luck, versus Plants vs. Zombies does have luck. And again, it's non-deterministic in the way that I said, but it's almost the reason that he's so good is for those very reasons. He's planning not only for the current wave and the next wave, but like the next and the next and the next waves. And he's sort of, he's put probably 30, I think he said about 3,500 hours into the game. I've only put about 1,500 hours into the game. And so again, he's truly seen everything and mm-hmm. knows, okay, the last time I tried to do this, I didn't get a good 50% rule. And so therefore I'm going to put this plant just one space different than I did before. And then I will get the 50% rule and then I can move on to the next wave. And, you know, like he's got this like whole like mastermind, like mapped out, you know, the entire level mapped out just incredibly well. And obviously like, you know, does a tremendous job. And so like, again, when we're talking about like how to improve, you know, what we have to do a lot of times in Plants vs. Zombies is, you know, you have to sort of like study other runners' runs and say, okay, why did they make the decisions that they did? Was it a good decision or not? And you have the benefit of hindsight. The runner at the time doesn't have that benefit. But like, so what I'll do a lot of times is I'll like look at his runs and I'll play through his game as if I like playing it as if I would have. And usually on every level, there's 1 or 2 or 3 decisions that he makes a little bit differently than I would have. And so then I'll go back and I'll say, why did he make those decisions? And was his decision the right one? And occasionally I would have made the right decision, but obviously 80, 90, 95% of the time, he probably made the right decision. Then, oh, I see. Like, he was planning for this because he knew that this mm-hmm. was on this kind of timer, because like a lot of the plants have like different levels of cooldown. So if you can sort of like have a broad idea of, okay, in 30 seconds, I'm going to need this plant. In 15 seconds, I'm going to need this plant. I think I'm going to have this amount of sun at this point in the level. And again, if you can kind of plan for all those variables, then obviously it makes it, you know, easier to execute upon your plan and not get yourself into a scenario where like, oh God, I didn't plan for this one thing and now I've lost 15 seconds or 30 seconds mm-hmm. because I made a mistake or because I did something dumb and I lost a plant or I, you know, got a bad zombie that I wasn't prepared for and things like that. So, you know, a lot of times, you know, again, it's a matter of, again, of kind of like getting that experience and, you know, getting the benefit of having other runners. And sometimes I'll even watch runners that maybe don't have quite as good a time that I do. And I'll sort of see like their thought process and their decision-making. Because again, maybe I would have made better decisions than them on average, but it doesn't mean that there's not anything to learn from their runs. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they'll have a really good level or they'll have something that I didn't think of and I'll be like, ooh, you know, like that's interesting. Or, well, they reacted to this one wave really, really, really well. Maybe the next time I get a similar wave, I can handle it in that wave. And even though maybe they didn't get the best time, you know, the same time that they would have overall on the level, they did one or two things like really well that I feel like I can kind of learn from. So a lot of it is actually like, I maybe feel like in other games, you know, you don't benefit a lot necessarily like from watching another SMB1 speedrunner, like, mm-hmm. oh, wow, he performed flagpole glitch more consistently. That I did or things like that, or, you know, his execution, you know, he can jump the piranha plants perfectly, or, you know, in 4-2, he can do the little trick like really, really consistently. And I can't do that. And I just need to learn how to do that. For us, it's more like, well, like, you know, what other experiences have other runners experienced? How did they deal with it? What went right? What went wrong? And, you know, how can I do the right stuff? And how can I avoid the wrong mm-hmm. stuff? Given that, you know, the next time I run the game, it's going to be completely.
I love the big variety of strategy. Like you said that you can learn from basically every runner, like a new strategy or one tiny thing that can benefit you. And I really, it's so funny. I really love that you mentioned chess because I also played chess for 7 and 8 years in a chess club and went to tournaments and stuff. And yeah, like blitz chess, like where you have to pull out good moves very quickly is like. It's so like close to being like what Plants vs. Zombies speedruns are. Like you have to quickly make the good decisions, otherwise you lose so much time and you will in the end lose your run to that. And it's like, mm-hmm. yeah, I really love this. I definitely will give it a try. I have a few more questions to round it up a little nicer this episode. And one question is like, I think we talked greatly about this. I feel like very prepared for a speedrun myself now. I actually bought the game on Steam yesterday, so...
excellent. Yeah, yeah. When you're streaming, I'll come there to cheer you on, you know.
But the question I want to ask is, like, what else if, like, there's someone, like, right now listening who gets similar feelings than I get and be like, hey, I want to start speedrunning Plants vs. Zombies. What do they need to, like, where do they need to get started besides just playing the game and getting a lot of knowledge, as we just talked about, and we got a lot of knowledge out of this episode already. What else are good starting points for them? Like, where good resources, like, because I feel like people really don't know where they should be looking for resources. Maybe you can give us a good insight on that to get everyone who is interested in speedrunning Plants vs. Zombies is getting a good start.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So of course my first recommendation would be like buy the game, play it for fun. Don't watch a speed run. Don't watch anything like that. Like play the game for fun. And mm-hmm. like, if you just find like, if like, I remember what I learned about Plants vs. Zombies. This was back in like 2009 or 2010, like right when the Game of the Year edition came out, which is the most common one that we play on Steam. Like I was just like, my brother was home from college and like just playing it casually because one of his friends had introduced me to it. And I was just like, I was watching over his shoulder and I was just like, oh my God, I love this. You get all the cool plants, you get this, you get like, and we played RTSs together and things like that. So it was like, it was very cool. So my first advice would be just like, play the game. And like, if you don't love the game's like very, it can be played, you know, it's very fun. It's very comical. It mm-hmm. doesn't take itself seriously. Like, you know, even though there's a lot of like very serious, like cool math stuff going on behind the scenes. Like my first advice, of course, would be play the game all the way through, play the mini games, play the puzzles, play the survivals, like get all the achievements and accomplishments and things like that. Like have fun with the game. Cause like, mm-hmm. that's really bread and butter. Like even though it's a beautiful speed game. And again, in my completely unbiased opinion, one of the best speed games of all time. Like it's such a fun game to play casually too, that like, you really won't be disappointed when you like, when you boot it up and just play it for fun. But, you know, getting into some more specifics, if you're like, oh yeah, I've played this game. I love it. I want to get into the speed run. Like everything they're talking about today sounds so cool. I think the next step would be, there's two things. We do have a community Discord. I know you have the link, but I can.
Yeah, we'll put it in the description.
In the description, you know, again, we're very welcoming. We probably have like I think it's got to be, you know, a couple hundred members at this point, and it's, you know, active daily. We're always talking about new strategies and things like that. We were talking about new runners. Some of our new runners have actually changed the like types of plants that we take on level. So again, we value input from all runners, old and new, you know, very, very welcoming. It's not toxic. It's not, you know, it's not super competitive. Like, you know, sometimes you get those discords that are like, you know, and I think it also kind of attracts like a certain, you know, type of gamer, like people who like, you know, strategy games, who are a little bit more like, you know, again, like a little bit more strategic or things like that. So as a result, you know, you're not kind of going, yeah, let's kill all, you know, you don't get too many people that are kind of the rah-rah types or things like that too. So the Discord that we have is a great resource for any questions or, you know, getting little bits of feedback or things like that that you want. But we also have a lot of really, really good resources on speedrun.com. If you look in kind of like the guides and the resources section within our speedrun.com page for Plants vs. Zombies, we have not one, not two, not three, but four different tutorials that I've made for the Any% category, simply because over the years, about every 6 months or so, I'm like, boy, that old tutorial was really outdated. We do so many things differently now. I want to like people updated. So I'm not saying you have to go through all the tutorials start to finish, but like certainly look at the most recent tutorial in whatever category that you're most interested in and sort of see just what we have to talk about. You'll learn about the 50% rule. You'll sort of see in action. I usually what I'll do is I'll pre-record a run and then I'll go through and talk about my own run sort of with the benefit of hindsight and say, well, look what I did here. This was right. Look what I did here. This was bad. And like, you know, sort of help the runners sort of get their feet right. Because again, like, although there's a tutorial, I can't tell you, you know, in every single situation, you know, what you could possibly do. Again, it's the chess analogy. You know, you can sort of get those first like four or five moves mapped out pretty well. But then after that, like you gotta know what your opponent's doing. You gotta be willing to adapt. And so we sort of talk through like, why did I make this decision? Why do I think it was the right decision or wrong decision? You know, like what are some areas I think I could improve in? What are, you know, what levels went well and why did they go well? What levels went poorly and why did they go poorly? And like, what was an instance of RNG? But like, you know, not only just, oh, I got bad RNG on this level, you know, I was helpless, but like, you know, did I react to it properly or not and things like that. So the tutorial I think could be very, very beneficial. And we also have like more tutorials that are built out for some of the individual levels. Like if you're more into shorter categories that don't take 3.5 hours, we do have a mini games category that takes about 1 hour 45 minutes for a, you know, relatively seasoned runner. We also have an all puzzles category that takes about maybe 15 minutes for a seasoned runner. And there's a lot of levels. We have like an ILs or an individual level category as well for a lot of the different levels in some of the survivals and things like that, where some of those runs could range just from 2 minutes to about 11 minutes or so, maybe for some of the longer individual levels. So again, whether you like a short run or a long run, we do have resources for you. We also have some like Google Doc and Google Drives written out that sort of in detail. We actually got a little bit of some of the source code for one of the versions of the game. So that's where we were able to like figure out a lot of these specific mechanics. We have some of that spelled out in some of our community resources and so forth. So again, whether you're into more of the reading types of tutorials or the more visual types of tutorials, or, you know, you just enjoy kind of chatting about it, you know, with someone like one-on-one in the Discord or, you know, asking the community questions. Again, those are kind of the three areas that I'd say to go to. Again, play the game casually, have fun with it, you know, like enjoy it. You know, number two, go to speedrun.com, go to our guides and our resources section, because there's a lot of really, really good stuff there that'll help you like get your feet wet in terms of like even simple things like what plants do I take, you know, in each level, what order do I generally plant the plants in each level? And you can kind of get, you know, again, start getting some experience there and then kind of get into some of the more highly technical, you know, written guides and things like that. And, you know, bouncing some new strategy ideas off of our community and Discord. Again, those are sort of the three areas I would say to go into if you're in.
I love that you have like so many resources and also like more deep written guides. I think like, and very fitting for this game because, you know, there is no clear path you can follow. There's like so many variables you have to, you know, understand and be flexible with. And I will totally like once I finish just the game once again on PC and I enjoyed it because like it's one of like it's a classic game in my opinion. It's like really cool game. I played it like two or three times before today. finished it, and I never, you know, was bored of it. I always enjoyed it, was always, you know, playing through it, got never, you know, bored of it, was like kind of addicted to finish it. And yeah, I mean, I will definitely try out some speedruns. But one question, I think we already, my final question is normally like, describe the game for someone who's never seen the speedrun in a few words to they make be picking out up. I think we did like fantastic already in that point with like this entire episode. So my final question, because it's also related to my video, is like resets versus no resets, and when to like what to do with Plants versus Zombies, because we talked about that experience aspect. I feel like no reset runs can be also valuable, although your run sucks, but you still get that experience. And so yeah, what's your take on that? To finish up this episode.
Absolutely. So I guess kind of dealing within two parts, if I had to describe the game in like, you know, 10 words or less, again, I'm sure as you've heard, I'm happy to talk about it more than 10 words, but really the beauty of it is that it's a decision-making speedrun, mm-hmm. you know, and it's as short as that. And as a result, really almost one of a kind of in the speedrunning world.
Yeah.
No frame perfect tricks, no difficult glitches, nothing that's mechanically excruciating. It's all about like the strategy, the decisions, the analytical nature. So again, I would say that like in terms of whether you should pick up the game or not, again, if you love strategy, if you love things that are analytical, and if you're the jazz musician, quote unquote, you know, that doesn't that's okay with things not being exactly the same every single time, then Plants vs. Zombies is definitely the run for you. And again, there's other people that sort of prefer, I like things to be the same every time. Mm-hmm. I like to learn exactly what to do the same way every time. But again, if you're a little bit, you know, you don't mind kind of thinking outside the box and adapting and, you know, strategizing your way through 3.5 hours, again, Plants vs. Zombies is, get a beautiful, beautiful speed game that I certainly couldn't recommend anymore.
Yeah.
In terms of sort of getting into it and resets versus no resets, again, I would say probably until you have 20 or 30 full playthroughs of the game, don't reset. You know, there's no like real, maybe if you take a death, but honestly, probably even if you don't. There's really no single RNG aspect that can happen, you know, towards the beginning of the run that is so crippling that you couldn't get a better time, you know, just by having played through the game, getting some more experience, you know, familiarizing yourself with some of those levels. Again, there's no single event that can happen so early on that, like, you know, in every one of your first, you know, 10, 15 attempts, you're probably going to be improving by the order on the order of minutes, if mm-hmm. not like intervals of 15, 20, 30, 40 seconds, you know? So no little 5 to 10 second, 2 second RNG thing that happens early on is going to shut you down. Like, even if it's frustrating, again, that just means that later on in the game, the game really does have a way of like evening itself out throughout the course of an entire run. So, you know, play through the game, you know, complete your first couple of attempts. Like, even if a couple levels are bad, we had a run, and actually in one of my own runs, I was over 1.5 minutes behind going into the last hour of the game, and I PB'd by like 30 seconds or something like that, simply because, you know, again, I got a little bit better than average RNG, and I just like, I played super well on mm-hmm. the last couple of levels, and I had like, I didn't know I had that much time to save, but I got a couple, you know, gold splits, and mm-hmm. you know, just found myself with an incredible run that, again, it would have been very, you know, it could have been very, you know, tempting earlier on in that run to say, oh, I'm 1 minute behind, yeah. 1.5 minutes behind, yeah. like just reset. But again, even at, you know, I've been kind of in the top three for a while now. Again, even at the higher levels, you can still significantly improve by just finishing runs and mm-hmm. seeing it through to the end. And, you know, kind of, you know, don't obviously if you're ever in a mental place where you're like, I'm too frustrated to play, like, you know, you should never, I mean, any game, you should never, you know, kind of continue it, you know, when you've reached that point. But, you know, play through the runs. And again, only maybe when you get to kind of the top couple where you're like 30 seconds behind after the first four levels, okay, then, you know, maybe go ahead and reset that one. Or you're 15 seconds behind after just one or two levels, mm-hmm. that's only like, you know, 2 minutes into the run. All right, maybe then you can go ahead and start to do some early resets. But for the most part, again, what I'd say to 99% of runners, like, just complete runs, keep going, you know, practice what you can. We even have a save file editor such that if you want to go back and practice a specific level or with a specific like setup or things like that, we have a way that you can that you can practice that level
that's good
a couple of times. So again, like in like anything, you know, I know a lot of your other runners will probably say this too, but, you know, try to break it down into smaller parts, you know, break it down into individual levels, be like, okay, like, what can I do to, you know, again, like practice, like planting the plants as fast as I can, or reacting to this type of thing as fast as I can, you know, those little types of things you'll definitely benefit from. But the much bigger benefit, again, is the, you know, the decision-making, the strategy elements that you can really only get through experience, really only get through finishing the game a number of times and just learning how to adapt to all the crazy things that the game can throw at you.
Yeah. Wow. No, I loved this. I loved every second of this podcast recording, man. Yeah, it really sounds like this, like, just get your experience. Like, you need to do it like 100 or 1,000 times to understand the right decisions. And man, I'm so excited to do speedruns. Like, as soon as I finish it, I might stream it, I might not stream it, but I will let you guys know when I do my runs, and I will show you how I will do. I think it was an awesome episode. Hope everybody was as excited to listen to Warmech as I was, because I love this. I will definitely try to speedrun this game. Thank you for being here, and thank you for everybody listening to this point in the stream or in the podcast when I upload this. That were our episodes. Thank you all for listening, and see you next time. Goodbye.
Thanks so much for having me, Flash. I really, really appreciate it. It's been a genuine pleasure. Again, I'm so excited. I want to get through all 20 of your episodes too. Again, it's so great to hear about all these different games. And again, I really think it's, you know, a podcast like this is really invaluable to the speedrunning community on the whole. So thanks for everything that you've done. It's been a genuine pleasure. Absolutely. And again, so we'll definitely be in touch. And again, you know, I appreciate the opportunity of being here.
No problem, man. Thank you. Thank you for that. That was all nice.
Take care, everyone.
Bye. Hope I didn't promise too much for you guys. Hope you enjoyed the episode as much as I did. Like, I said it so often, but this was one of my favorite recordings. He's a great guy. I think our dynamic was so good. We talked a little bit after the stream and before the stream. Like, I recorded this on my stream, and we had some really funny conversations, some funny things happened, and like really good conversations. If you want to be a part of that, like communicating with us and asking questions, or just having a nice chat with us outside of the regular recording, then I please encourage you to check out my stream. There's some other content I do there as well, like speedrunning myself. But yeah, would like to see some new faces there from this podcast. Hope you enjoyed this episode. And I don't know what episode I can bring out next week, but I will try my best to get out another episode next week. And yeah, hope you are now playing Plants vs. Zombies and try to speedrun the game because of this episode. I would encourage you all to do that. But yeah, see you till the next episode. Bye.